Now's the Time, episode number 5. Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, welcome to the podcast. In today's podcast, we are going to be talking about awe. I mean, A-W-E, awe. Awesomeness. That is the awesomeness of God and we, as His creation, being in awe of Him. I believe with all my heart that we all lack awe of God. It's something that we need to work at increasing in our life. Why? Well, because when we have a proper awe of God, it changes the way we behave. It changes the way we relate to other people. It changes the way we worship God. And it changes the way we do ministries and the way we do church. But I do believe that we all have a lack of awe for God. This is a vital thing that every believer must have. And what really got me going on this was a book that I just recently finished called Dangerous Calling by Paul David Tripp. And in it, he talked about the problem that many pastors don't have an awe of God. They have lost their awe of God. And because they have lost their awe of God, they no longer are impressed with God and with who He is. And honestly, sometimes even in the ministry, you know, we get more impressed with ourselves than we are with God. Or maybe we get more impressed with other ministry leaders that seem to be doing a better and greater job and are better at whatever it is they do instead of being impressed with God. You know, if you're not impressed with God, it makes it easy to be impressed with yourself. But when you're impressed with God, you are not impressed with yourself. That is for sure. And another thing that really got me thinking about this recently was a couple of weeks ago, we had a hurricane that came through our area of Odessa here in Ukraine. And I like storms. Our kids like storms. And this is the time of year where we have a lot of thunderstorms, lightning. It's always fun to kind of see the lightning come down, some heavy rain, a little wind blowing. Well, this storm that we had, it was on June 1st. I've never seen a storm like that in my life, honestly. I really haven't. And I grew up in an area where we had wind storms in Washington, but you know, I'd never seen a storm like this. And it was a pretty hot day. Christina and I, we'd been out most of the day. We'd been walking. It was kind of hot and muggy. Came home, and then Christina went with our son they had to go run an errand. And, you know, they came home, and within just about 15 minutes after they came home, and I'm telling you, the sky was clear. It was no signs of any kind of storm. But just within about 15 minutes of them coming home, all of a sudden the wind picked up. And in came the clouds, and that wind just started blowing right down our street. And we ran to the window to watch this amazing storm just take place. And I had never seen wind blow like that for about 20 minutes solid. It was probably 50, 60, maybe 70 mile an hour winds and trees falling down all over the place, things being blown here and there. I know it's not as big of a hurricane, obviously, as they have in some of the tropics, but for us, that was pretty big. And there was a moment during that storm where that wind was blowing so fiercely that just for a moment, I started thinking, wow, if that wind just picks up even a little bit more, we could be in some real danger. This is a dangerous situation. And of course, I was glad that we were not outside because we could have easily gotten hit by a branch or something that was blowing in the wind going by. And I started thinking about those people. We already have tourists down in this area that are camping in their tents. I have no idea what they were doing during this storm. But just for that minute, I started thinking, wow, this is kind of dangerous. And of course, when you think about that, then you start praying, Lord, keep us safe. And so I said a prayer. And after the storm was over, I got to think about that. And I thought, you know, that's kind of interesting that it takes such a huge storm to get me to that point where I say, Lord, I'm completely dependent on you. We need your protection. We need your help. And in that sense, I was in awe of the storm, and I realized my need for God's protection, and that without it, we would not survive. And I think the awe of God is like that. But what I began to realize was, you know, it's not just during the storm that I need God's protection. It's every day. And that storm reminded me of how great God is and how fragile we really are as humans, living in these bodies where we can trip and fall and crack a bone or get cut and bleed, and within minutes, our life is gone. And I think those things help us when we recall them to remind us of our need for God every day, every second, and the greatness of God too. And so when I talk about the awe of God, well, first of all, let's define what the awe of God is. I remember in youth group, we used to sing a song called Our God is an Awesome God. It's a good song, but we would get kind of worked up. You know, that was a fun song to sing, Our God is an Awesome God, and get the music loud and everything. The awe of God is not simply just singing a song and the emotions that you might feel during a worship service. Those aren't bad, but my definition of the awe of God is much more than that. It's not just having some emotions and falling on your knees and saying, oh God, you are so great. The awe of God has to be much more than simply emotions that have been worked up during a worship service or singing some sort of song like, Our God is an Awesome God. I define the awe of God as when our theology, our understanding of who God is, meets our experience. And let me explain what I mean by that. There's a couple of spots in the Bible where this is pretty clearly seen. And probably the first one that I could think of would be Exodus chapter 19, right before God gives the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. And remember, God comes down on that mountain, and he comes down in fire, in earthquake, in thunder, and the people are scared. All of a sudden, they have this experience where they see the greatness of God, and they are in awe of who God is. Not only are they going to be instructed on who God is and how they should behave, but they have experienced it, and God says, set limits around the mountain so that the people don't come up. Well, you know, honestly, he didn't really have to say that because the people were so in awe of God and in fear of God that they wouldn't go up anyway. They said, Moses, you go. We don't want to go there because we're afraid of what might happen to us in the presence of God. That's one spot. Another spot also is in Isaiah. If you remember Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had this amazing vision of the Lord sitting on his throne and these seraphim around him and crying out, holy, holy, holy. And what did Isaiah do? He fell down in front of the Lord and cried out, woe is me. Again, here is Isaiah, who is a learned prophet. He is someone who certainly knew theology, And yet, when he was met face to face with God, he fell down in awe of God, recognizing more completely than ever who God was, his holiness, and who Isaiah was before this God. And he said, woe is me. And so there, again, you see the theology meeting the personal experience. And then there's a final spot in Scripture that I want to call your attention to, and that's Job. Job is, of course, a very interesting book, but you really get the meat of it, the core of it, when you get to the end, and God, first, Job, he questions God. And again, I think Job was a guy that he knew about God. He understood theology. He probably had a decent understanding of theology. And he questioned God. He said, why is this happening to me? And guess what? God decided to answer. And God answered him. And man, was that an experience for Job. And so after God answered him and Job had that experience of God personally coming and talking to Job, how does Job respond to the Lord? Check out what he says in Job 42. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke the things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Folks, that's the awe of God right there. But look what he says a little bit further. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And I think that's really the gist of what the awe of God is about. What he says there in Job chapter 42, verse 5, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. That is, his theology met his experience. And when his theology met his experience, all of a sudden he had a proper awe of God, and the proper awe of God always sends us to our knees as we realize who we are before this awesome and great God. Unfortunately, we often lack the awe of God. And let me talk for a minute about theology. I always like to talk about theology. I encourage people to study theology. I think that theology is the root, the basis ought to be for our actions in life. But there's a warning here. Because theology can be studied. Theology can be learned. Theology can be in our heads without ever making contact with real life. And friends, that is a huge danger. And when that happens, what happens is we actually make God smaller because, you know, we can read a theology book that tells about all of the fine points of theology and talks about God's, even talks about how he is infinite, he has no beginning, he has no end, and we know he's all-powerful, and he's all-knowing, and he's all-present, and we can put all of these things down on paper in black and white and in a book and have that book on our shelf and know that book in and out and think, okay, I know God now. And yet, we have never experienced him personally. And yet, those same amazing truths that we studied in theology don't make any impact on our life. And we can't see God working daily in our life and in the lives of others. And that's really the danger, friends. So theology in itself is not dangerous. What is dangerous is when we do not connect it with our real life. So in order to have a proper awe of God, yes, we need to study theology. We need to have a proper understanding of who God is, and then we need to make that vital connection to life and to our real experiences. Now, I want you to think for a minute about that storm that I just explained to you. You probably experienced something similar in your life where you were in awe. The lightning struck and what people say, oh, whoa, wow. There's a certain awe that is in us. Why? Because we don't fully understand what's going on. And that awe of God is also the same that when we know God, we know theology, and we experience it, there is a certain sense where we do not completely understand the fullness of it. And in that is the awe of God. But let's say that someone has never experienced an electric storm, thunder and lightning in their life. They've never seen it. They lived, who knows, somewhere in a place where they never had thunder, they never had lightning. And so in a science class, it's explained to them. And it's explained how the clouds come over the earth and there's the electrons that build up in the clouds, and that static is called static electricity. And once it builds up to a certain extent, then it creates a bolt of lightning that crashes to the ground. And that lightning bolt, of course, results in the thunder clap, and we can talk about how many million volts that is and what kind of heat that creates and the amount of energy that creates and all of these things. But until a person has actually experienced that storm, it's not really going to mean that much to them, is it? So, how can we experience God in that sense? That's the question for us today. We need the awe of God because it's going to change our lives, our behavior, our ministries, and our worship. But how can we study the theology and then find the theology in our daily experiences? Well, there's a couple of suggestions I want to give to you. And the first of all is, simply, as we read God's word, I think it's vital that we look at the text that we read and ask ourselves the question, what does this text say about the character of God? Now, oftentimes you're reading scripture, it's not necessarily going to say God is love or God is all powerful. But look how God is being portrayed. Look at the events in that scripture, or for instance, even a book like Esther that doesn't mention the word God, yet we can look at it and we can see God's mercy, God's love towards his people, God's justice. And you can see a lot of the character of God, even in some of those types of texts. So as you read, and this is something that I try to apply daily as I read God's word, is just to ask myself, what is this text saying about the character of God? And then the second question you can ask is just, how do I see God working in this text? Just what is he doing? Just literally, what is God doing? Is he providing for his people? Is he judging someone for sin? Is he revealing himself to someone in some way? Is he comforting? And look at the actions of God in the text you're reading. And then, like I said, we need to connect this to real life. And so, you know, I think it's also important that as we go about our daily lives, that we attribute things to God. We have a tendency to want to attribute things to people. We want to attribute things sometimes to chance. We want to attribute things to having money or to getting sick or to skills and talents and things like that. But I would encourage you that as you go through life, to attribute more things to God. And just to notice that, you know, if it weren't for God in my life, this would not happen. So when we talk about things like success in school or getting a job or just simply your health, of course, spiritual growth, salvation, any of these positive things, we need to attribute to the work of God in our lives. And another thing that I like to do also just is to be observant of creation. There are so many amazing things in creation if we were just a little more observant. I enjoy clouds, for instance, just observing the way God creates different pictures every day with the clouds and with the sky. And I look at those things and I praise the Lord and say, wow, that is amazing. Look at what God has done. And the other thing that I think that we can do is as we connect these things, these experiences that we have in our daily life with the theology that we know and that we understand from God's Word, I think that we also need to find ways to remind ourselves of our own finiteness and frailty, of our own human condition. Now, how can you do that? That might mean making sure that you visit people who are sick. Hospital visits are oftentimes wonderful for helping us realize our own frailty. And funerals, too. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I kind of went to a lot of funerals because, you know, my dad was doing the funerals. And I look back on that now, and I think, wow, that impacted my life. Because every time I went, it reminded me of the fact that, you know, I only have so many years on this earth. So there are things that we can do to remind ourselves of our own frailty, our own humanness, our own finiteness. And then again, but we have to connect that with the fact that God is eternal. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. And when we do that, we will develop within our own hearts an awe for God. And friends, I think it's something that has to be developed. It's not just going to happen overnight. You're probably not going to have an experience like the Israelites had at Mount Sinai or Isaiah or Job. But what you can do is you can develop that awe of God through a study of God's Word, a true understanding of theology that is then connected to the experiences that you have in daily life as you attribute the things to God that God is doing, and as you observe in creation and in your life how God is at work, you will eventually develop an awe of God where you fall down on your knees and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, you are so great. I cannot even fathom your greatness, and I worship you.